Shalom. I was considering, instead of giving the regular shiur or something from Enaya, to learn something special from regarding Chag HaSukkot. And I was debating between two topics. One is very short, so I'll just relate to it. Derech Agav. Anybody who has children in the Gan know the song about Shlomit Bona Sukkat Shalom. And I just thought of, we all know where it comes from, in davening, in Leil Shabbat, Ufros Aleinu Sukkat Shlomecha, Baruch Atah Hashem HaPoreh Sukkat Shalom, the Sukkah of Shalom, the Sukkah of Peace, is a concept that we're all familiar with, and the politicians use it, etc., etc., but where does it come from? It's not in the Tanakh, and it's not in Chazal. To make a long story short, because it's not really the topic of the shiur, the Shla brings down in Masechet Sukkah, the second part of Masechet Sukkah is called something like Igeret Shalom or something like that, Kuntres HaShalom. And the connection apparently is as follows. He doesn't make the direct connection, but like a lot of times these great Kabbalists, they take for granted that we know exactly what they're talking about. We all know the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Halacha that Sukkot is one of the most one of those mitzvot that it's most important to mention the kavanot. Like once we're sitting in a sukkah, we can be yotze ourselves. I mentioned it in the shiur on Shabbat. It's always good to have kids remind you to say zecher litziat mitzrayim v'zecher la'ananei kavod, that we're sitting in a sukkah in memory. That's milchik. It's chalavi. Now, the Ananei HaKavod, the Sukkah, is in memory of the Ananei HaKavod, their protective clouds that God accompanied us in the Midbar, in the 40 years in the desert. Chazal tell us that there were three great gifts in the desert. Bizchut, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Moshe brought the man, Miriam brought the be'er, the water, and the Amud Hanan was Bizchut, Aaron, HaKohen. So if the Sukkah is in memory of the Ananim, the clouds, and the clouds is in memory of Aharon, and the great Midah of Aharon is that he's Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Ohevet Abriot, that he not only does he like Shalom, but he runs after Shalom. The Midrash tells about different how Aharon brought Shalom ben Adam l'chavira, how all of Am Yisrael mourned him for 30 days, including the children, including the women, because that was his thing, Shalom. And so that's how we get the idea of Sukkat Shalom. Again, the equation is very simple. Sukkah equals the Anan, equals Aharon, equals Shalom. And so the idea of the Sukkat Shalom is found. It's a Kabbalistic idea. What I thought of discussing is a different aspect of the Anan, of the clouds, because it's true that the Sukkot are in memory of the clouds that we had in the Anan, but this is the season of the clouds. Are a clouds, the Anan, is what comes right before the Geshem, right before the rain. And you don't know, even if you have a lot of clouds this time of year, you don't know whether the clouds are going to bring rain or not. And that's why at the end of Sukkot, we are nidon on the Geshem, and we start davening, or praising Hashem for the Geshem, for the rain. And what I thought about speaking is, what is the connection between all these ideas? And also, what is the Kabbalistic idea of Tzila de Mehemnuta, the shade or the sukkah of emunah, of belief? And why is belief such an important part of Sukkot? There are a lot of different explanations, and Bezrat Hashem will suggest one. There are three aspects where emunah comes into place in the Tanakh very directly with Chag HaSukkot. Let's see it inside, in source 7. The Pasuk in Sefer Shmot, chapter 34, Pasuk 24, Ki orish goyim ipanecha, virchavti et gvulecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that when we will conquer the land of Israel, and he will extend our borders, V'lo yachmod ish et artzecha. And Hashem will give us a bracha, a special blessing, that our enemies will not covet, they will not be jealous of our land. Ba'alotcha lirot et pnei Hashem elokecha shalosh paimim b'shana. Lichora, very simple technical problem. When all of the males are obligated to go on Aliyah L'Regel, to make pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, who's minding the mint, as they say? Who's going to take care of the border? We just leave our women there, and we know historically, it's interesting, anybody who learned the sugyot in the beginning of Masechet Ketuvot, part of the idea is that you see from the sugyot that people used to take all their jewels with them. Because when you went on a business trip, and or whenever you left the house, what, you're going to leave all your money and your gold and your silver with your wife? You know, that's just asking for the shodadim, for the listim, for the robbers to come and to take it by force. So people used to take and travel with their jewels with them. And that's the story of the shayarot, the convoys, and the pirates, and et cetera, et cetera. But when all the men went up to Yerushalayim, that was a classic time for people to break in and to steal. Now, which of the three regalim did everyone really come to Yerushalayim was really a problem? It's Sukkot. Because this is the time of the year where the osem, where the silo, is totally full. The barns are full. We've just finished gathering in all of the seven species. Right, the olives are beginning now to be harvested. And this is the time where people will want to come and rob our silos. And the Torah tells us, have emunah. Notice, we're starting with the idea. This is the idea of emunah. Have faith in God. And this is a promise only God could deliver. And there are a couple places. It's like the promise of Shemitah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, when you observe Shemitah, I will take care of you and will give you double the produce in the sixth year. And it's important to stress that that asterisk is talking about when Shemitah is midoraita, whereas God says when the 12 tribes are in their land and everyone observes Shemitah, then he's going to give us double the produce in the sixth year. You can't rely on that promise today because Shemitah today is only midrabanan. It's a rabbinical Shemitah. So that promise, but in the time of when Am Yisrael was all divided according to the Shvatim, and Shemitah and Yovel were from the Torah, we could rely on that promise. And the same thing with this promise. So again, we begin to see the connection between having faith in God and the holiday of Sukkot. Okay? A second case is, we'll get to Derech Agav through Eliyahu Navi. This is a shiur I gave a couple years ago in the shul. In Sefer Melachim Aleph, Source 8, Perek Yud Chet, Chapter 18, we all remember the story. It's my children's favorite story of Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel. I don't know how many tens, maybe hundreds of times I've told it to our children over the years. Everybody who has small children know the children like hearing familiar stories, and this is one of my favorites, one of their favorites, where Am Yisrael, a large percentage was bowing down to Baal, was serving idols. And Eliyahu HaNavi challenges them to a duel. You build a mizbeach, an altar, I'll build an altar. You choose a cow, I'll choose a cow. You bring your wood, I'll bring my logs. And you pray to your God, and I'll pray to my God, and we'll see which God sends down fire from heaven. And we all remember the story, Neveah Baal. They, according to the Midrash, sometimes in elementary school you don't remember what's a Midrash and what's the Pshat. It's not written in the Pshat. I remember our teacher telling us that the Nevi'ei HaBaal, they themselves didn't depend on their God, and they had a little a short guy who hid inside the Mizbeach, and he tried to light it from the bottom, and he died, and it didn't work. But the Pshat is, it didn't work. And after an entire day, remember Eliyahu HaNavi is a gentleman, even though he's a Kohen, he said, you go first because you're the majority. Most of the Jews were serving idols. And they spent a whole day trying to get it to work. And then in the late afternoon, Eliyahu said, well, maybe your God is sleeping. maybe he went out to the bathroom, you know, wait till he comes back. And he was really making fun of them. We see he has a sense of humor. And they give up. And then it's his time. It's his turn. Vayaruch et ha'itzim, he set up his logs. Vaynatayach et ha'par, and he cut up his bull. Vayasem et ha'alayitzim, puts the animal on the logs. Vayomer milu arba kadimaim, fill up four pitchers, not pitchers, big kadim of water, buckets of water. Vayitzku ala ola, and they poured it on the animal, alayitzim, and on the logs. Vayomer shanu, repeat it again, fill up another four buckets, and they did. Vayomer shaleshu, v'yishaleshu, they did it a third time. In other words, 12 large jars, large buckets of water, are poured on the mizbeach. Vayolchu ha'mayim saviv saviv l'mizbeach, everything was wet. V'gam ha'tatala malei mayim, even around the mizbeach, was full of water. Vayhi ba'alot ha'mincha, in the late afternoon, vayigash Eliyahu ha'navi, vayomer ha'shem elokei Avraham Yitzhak v'Yisrael. Hayom yivada ki ata Elokim, the God of our forefathers. Today, everyone will know that you are the real God, B'Yisrael, the God of, and the real God in Israel. Vani avdecha, and everyone will know that I am your servant. I am a true prophet. Ubidvarecha asiti et kol advarim ha'ele, and you were the one who told me to stop the rain. Remember, it wasn't raining for 3 years. Vatapal ish Hashem, vatochal et ha'ula v'et ha'itzim v'et ha'vanim. A strike of fire comes down from heaven, lights up the korban, lights up the logs, lights up the rocks, veta afar, veta maim, even the water got lit up. Asher betala licheka. Vayar kolam vayiplu al pneihem. The whole nation fell on their faces. Vayimru Hashem o Elokim, Hashem o Elokim. This is the source. Vayomer Eliyahu leachav, alo achol v'shato. Ki kol hamon hageshem.
He tells him, don't worry, water is now coming. Now that all of Am Yisrael has done tshuva, everyone recognizes that God is the real God, you can already start eating and drinking, you can stop your fast, because you can take that to the bank. The rain is coming.
Vayomer el na'aro, alena habit derech yam.
Look over the sea, right? We all know in Israel the wind and the clouds come in from the west. There are no clouds.
Vayomer shev, sheva pa'amim,
sent them back 7 times. There's not a cloud on the sky.
Vaybishvi'it, on the 7th time, vayomer hine av ktana kekaf ish ala miyam.
There is a small, like the size of a man's hand, a small cloud.
Vayomer ale, amor emor el achav, go up and tell achav, esor, you can tie up your chariot, vered, velo yatzorcha hageshem.
Hurry up, because there's going to be a great storm, all from this one small cloud.
Vayhi ad kov, ad kov, hashamayim itkadru, avim veruach, vayigeshem gadol, etc., etc.
Now we see here that Eliyahu Navi has very strong faith that the cloud is going to bring geshem. But here we have to ask the obvious question. Put yourself in the shoes of Am Yisrael after 3 years of drought. And the Navi asked the people to ligared, to scratch out the last water from the wells. Remember, Achav is looking for Eliyahu because he doesn't have, the king of Israel doesn't have water for his servants, for his animals. Everyone's dying. Maybe the king has a little water, but everyone is thirsty. The whole country is thirsty. And he says, bring 4 buckets. And they're throwing it down. Bring more. Bring more. 12 buckets. I can picture I can feel the tongues of the people sticking to the palates of their mouth. What is he doing with our water? What Eliyahu HaNavi is doing is what we do every year on Nisuch HaMayim. What is Nisuch HaMayim? What is the idea of pouring water on the Mizbeach? This is the time of the year at the end of the summer where the rainwater is running out. And we have to, at this stage, you know, today Baruch Hashem we have irrigation, but in the olden days, this was the time of the year that people were, the Be'erot were drying up. And we were beginning ligared, to scratch the last drops of water. And nevertheless, we have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We take the water, pour it on the Mizbeach, just like Eliyahu Navi. Now, why is this significant? I remember in elementary school, our teacher told us, what is the significance of Elio pouring water and again and do it a third time in 12? That it was to lagdil etanes, to make the miracle that much greater. Right? That's what you learned in elementary school, right? That God is going to light up everything, even though it's wet. Right? Anybody who was ever in a machane chutz in America, in Camp Moshava, we used to in summer camp, where in America it rains a lot in the summer. And you have to build bonfires when everything is wet. It's very, very difficult. Eliyahu Navi dampens everything. So we were taught in elementary school, that's the idea of the water. But again, if you put everything in the context of the story, the issue is the 3 years of drought. And Eliyahu Navi is willing to show Ahav that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him, and out of love of Israel, he is pouring the water. By the way, there's an interesting point. The name Eliyahu, Eliyahu Navi begins his career with the line of Kano Kineti Lashem, right? I am zealous. And he is the one who tells God, stop the water, the Jews don't deserve it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, he doesn't want to make a drought. But Eliyahu Navi was the one, he was the one who caused the drought. And when Chazal say in the Midrash that Pinchas is Eliyahu, that Eliyahu, as if it were, is a reincarnation of Pinchas, that's the same kina'ah, the kana'ut of Pinchas, the zealousness, which he kills Zimri and Cozbi, right? He's a Kohen, Eliyahu is a Kohen, and the bottom line is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with Eliyahu. And he sends him out in the desert. And the king and the whole nation wants to kill him. And he spends 40 years in the desert, and he's hungry. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what? Now you know what hunger is. You're the one who brought hunger to the whole nation of Israel. And what's the end of the story? According to the Midrash, Eliyahu is our nice great-great-great-great-grandfather who comes to every Brit Milah. And he is the one who is milamed zchut. Every Motzei Shabbat, according to the Midrash, Eliyahu Navi gives Am Yisrael the benefit of the doubt. And that's his name, Eliyahu. Eliyahu begins with Midat Adin. El, Elohim, literally means judge. It begins with Midat Adin. Yahu, the second part of his name, is Midat HaRachamim, Yudke Vavke. He changed. God educated him to make that change from Midat Adin to Midat HaRachamim, to have mercy on the people of Israel. Nevertheless, we see that not only does Eliyahu have faith that God is going to bring the water, as is going to bring rain, not only through pouring it on the Mizbeach, but he tells Ahav, you can start eating and drinking, the rain is coming. And that's even before there's a small cloud. Afterwards, there's a small cloud, he said, oh, this is definitely it. There's going to be a big storm. And that faith, again, is connected directly with the Sukkot, with the Nisuch HaMayim. So that's the second example of faith and emunah in helping us to begin to understand the idea of Tzila D'Memnuta, that the Sukkah is called the Sukkah of faith. But the third example is really the key to understanding everything. Let's see in Source 9, Nehemiah. In Perek Chet, Chapter 8 of Nehemiah, when the Jews are coming back from the land, from Babel to the land of Israel, to build the second Beit HaMikdash, Uviyom HaSheni Ne'esfu Rashei Avot L'chol Am HaKohanim V'Leviim El Ezra HaSofer L'Askil El Divrei Torah. Vayimtzu'u katu b'Torah. They opened up the Torah, and what did it say in the Torah? Asher tziva Hashem biyad Moshe asher yeshvu bnei Yisrael besukot bechag bechodesh hashvi'i. Apparently, there are a lot of different explanations. What, they forgot over 70 years, they forgot the mitzvah of Sukkah? One explanation is that the idea of massive Sukkot, for Am Yisrael, you can only have an Eretz Yisrael, because in Galut, where the land doesn't belong to you, you're not allowed to build a sukkah that has the din of sukkah gazul, a stolen sukkah, if you're building on public property. And so that's one explanation. There are a lot of different explanations. Anyway, one explanation was just that it was massive. The Asher Yashmiu Viafiru Kol Bechol Arehem will be Yerushalayim Lemor Tzu Hahar. Go up to the mountains. Now listen, how did they make their schach? What did they use for schach? Haviu Ale Zayit, oil, olive branches. Vale Etz Shemen. That's another type of tree. Vale Hadas. Vale Tamarim. The myrtle branches. And the palm branches. Vale Etz Avot. There's the commentaries explain that Etz Avot, already that's also Hadasim. But what's the first is hadas, that's a hadas shoteh, which isn't mishulash, it's not kosher for hadasim. It doesn't grow in buds of 3-3-3. And the second, ale yitzavot, does. Lasot sukot kakatuv. Now, anybody who's a bal kore, the idea of ale yitzavot, ale tmarim, rings a bell. And here we have an interesting concept that the arba minim, the four species that we take in our hands, not the arava, because the arava, as we all know, dries up very easily, and therefore really isn't good for schach, and the etrog, it's a fruit, so it's a mekabel tuma, so you can't use it for schach, but we see that even in the time of Nehemiah, the time of the Tanakh, they used the same palm branches and the anafei tzavot and the hadasim for the schach. And here we begin to understand the symbolism that the four minim that we have in our hands joins with those same branches that we have on top. But what's the difference? What we use for schach is the old lulavim, the palm branches from last year, which have since opened up. They're good for sale, for shade. And what we have in our hands is the new lulav, which has yet to grow. And the idea here is a very interesting idea of the meeting with the old, the psolet agoren v'ayekev, the old, the psolet, the leftovers, with the new. And this brings us to understand a concept of Sukkot, of the aspect of Yom Hadin, of Sukkot. Please look in source 10, where the Shla brings down that all of the regalim are Yemei Din. They're judgment days. V'yizkor ki yemei ha-moadim hem yemei din. Ke'omram zal b'mishnah b'perakama d'rosh ha-shanah b'arba prakim olam nidon. B'pesach, on the holiday of Pesach, we are judged and it's decided how much grain we're going to get. Be'atzeret on chag ha-shavuot ala perot ha-ilan. How much fruit we're going to have. B'rosh ha-shanah kol ba'e olam ovrim lifanav kivnei maron. Man is judged. Ubechag on Sukkot nidonim al hamayim. We are judged regarding the water for the coming year. Hare shekol ha-moadot yimei din. What are we saying when we take the new, the future palm branches in our hands and mix them with the last year's palm branches in the schach above? We are saying that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the old, the new, Bezrat Hashem, will also be just like last year. In other words, the ananim, the sukkah, which represents the cloud, which represents the safek, the doubt, is this year going to bring a lot of rain or not? We mix the safek with the sipuk. And here, it's obviously not a coincidence, in God's language, in Lashon HaKodesh, that we spoke about this once, that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of words in Hebrew which are davar vehipucho, which are one thing and the opposite. Right? Like nochri is a foreigner, nikar is someone that you know. Right? Pnim is inside. Panim is outside. Right? So too, Safek is a doubt. Sipuk is satisfaction with what we have. And this is the duality which apparently Chag HaSukkot is coming to teach us. It's interesting, in psychology, one would think psychologically that when is the person the most satisfied, the most happy? At Chag HaSif. When a person sets a goal, sets a dream, realizes the dream, oh, I'm satisfied. I can tell you from personal experience that the two most frightening chavayot, experiences that I ever had, were davka right after I succeeded in fulfilling a dream. And it was a very, very weird feeling. Afterwards, I spoke to a psychologist. What did he call it? In Hebrew, it's called Mashber HaHagshama. In English, how would you translate that?
The despair of fulfillment.
Yeah, or the crisis of fulfillment. We all know there's a song, Lo Na'atzor, right? That we strive to get to the goal, but we should never really get there, because then we have nothing to look forward to. First time was I went on shlichut for 2 years, and Baruch Hashem, we had a lot of siyata dishmaya, and Bnei Akiva in New York was in bad shape, and we started a lot of new branches. I remember by the end of 2 years we had 14 new branches, and we more than tripled or quadrupled the number of active members, and we had a very successful camp. And the last thing that I was asked to do was to be what's called Rosh Mosh, the head of Camp Moshava, 500 kids, 100 and some odd staff members. Thinking back now, I was 21 years old, but as in all youth movements, we always thought that we could do it, and we did. And Baruch Hashem went fantastic. And last night at camp, we have always had a big party. And at the height of the party, all of a sudden, I felt total emptiness. And I ran out of the party. And my fiancée, to be my wife, noticed that I was upset. She came out, and she saw that I was crying. She said, "What are you crying about?" So I said, "This is the weirdest thing. I never, ever had feelings of suicide before. Like, I have this feeling like I want to commit suicide." And I spoke to a psychologist, and he told me that when you succeed at something very clearly, a lot of times in life you can't, it's difficult to measure success. But regarding certain things, maybe in business or in a lot of different fields, you can measure your success. And hey, what do we do now? When you get to the peak, to the climax, what do you do now? And you feel a terrible feeling of safek. Davka at the time of Sipuk. The second time that I felt it, and as soon as I felt it coming, I already knew to identify it, but it still came. When I put out my first album, and again, something I worked on for years and invested 40,000 shekel, a lot of money and a lot of time, and Baruch Hashem, it came out so much better than I ever thought of, simply because I took professionals to do it. And my mother made a party to celebrate the coming of the album. And again, at the end of the party, I felt this terrible down. And I knew how to identify it. And this is a problem. Now, psychologically, there are four different aspects of the safek that comes at the time of sipuk, the anxiety or despair that davka comes at the time of fulfillment. Number one is what I mentioned. The classic example is that, okay, I achieved my goal, what now? And the second aspect is we can call the Kohelet syndrome. That Shlomo HaMelech, what is Kohelet in a nutshell? You take the wisest man who ever lived, the wealthiest man who ever lived, the person who had the most wives that ever lived, and he is like the epitome of everything. And Shlomo HaMelech writes in Sefer Kohelet, I just want to be happy. And I thought that money would bring me happiness until I realized I was the wealthiest man in the world and something was missing. And then I thought, women, mi yachush, chutz mi meni. And then I realized I already had 1,000 wives and that isn't bringing me happiness. And then he switched gears to something a little more spiritual, mental, intellectual, chokhmah. And then he realized, hey, I'm the wisest man that ever lived. And I still feel that something is missing. And that something that's missing, davka, comes from the fact that he has a full silo. And he has everything on every topic that he ever wanted. But the problem that something is still missing, because there's always going to be something missing, right? Nothing is ever perfect. That's the point that we're getting to, okay? But that's the second aspect of this Mashber Hagshama, right? A third aspect is the aspect of what we saw in Sefer Shemot. Okay, somebody's a millionaire, right? He strikes it big. He now has a lot of competitors. He has a lot of enemies, right? They're just trying to take him down to get him down from the top of the hill. And one of the problems of being successful is I can't stay here forever. And just like I took him down and I climbed, someone's going to take me down too. That's just a matter of time. So you spend your whole time worrying, you know, when are the goyim going to come and try and take my land? Or take my silo. Like we said, that was the problem of Aliyah LeRegel. He's calling me at 11:45. Excuse me.
Coming for your silo.
Right? Not only that. After I succeeded, who says next time I'm going to succeed as well? That's always the problem when we mention the music. Everybody knows that all the bands, if they're successful, they always succeed in their first album. Otherwise, they never make a second album, right? But if they really succeed in their first album, the second album usually goes to their head, and they hurry out and say, hey, this went so well, and we succeeded so much. They do chlap-lap, and the second album is usually right. And then they learn their lesson, and by the third album, you know, if they're really talented, so they learn that what they did the first time, that's the way to do it. But nobody, very, very few people, can stay at the top. And that's the third problem that we have with success. The fourth problem, and this is what's called in psychology the imposter anxiety. And that is, this is something I don't know if anybody ever thought about it, public figures, all rabbis, all teachers, for 100 times more politicians, all have this nervousness that people are going to find out who I really am. You know, I'm not really what they think I am. And that's what's called the imposter anxiety. You know, everybody thinks that he's so smart or so this or so that or so, you know, and nobody is perfect. And you know, it's really every time my students stand up for me when I come into a room, I say to myself, Well, it's a good thing they don't know who I really am, you know. And the truth is with every Rav. I'm sure every single Rav who's, unless he's a, you know, a... unless he's an imposter, right? Unless he has that problem with ga'ava, with overinflated ego, when he forgets. I once knew somebody who told me straight out. He says, "I have a problem. All the students talk to me in third person. I start to think of myself in third person." You know, you start taking the people seriously, and that's one of the reasons why I left being the head of the midrasha. Everyone has to leave it after a couple of years. The idea of having people standing up for you and giving you kavod is not healthy for your neshama. And it's not real. And that's a fourth aspect of success, that even if you hit it big with a startup company, you know, Lahavdil in high tech or whatever it is, and everybody thinks you're a genius, between you and yourself, you know you're not a genius. And you know that you've made a lot of mistakes, and everyone made a lot of mistakes. And that's a fourth problem that we have. In other words, if we summarize the four problems, there's the problem of where to go now, right? You got to set a new goal. Number two, something is still missing. Number three, someone's going to take it from me eventually, and I can't stay up here forever. And number four, what's going to happen when people figure out who I really am? And all of these, I'm sure there are other gormim also, but the bottom line is that davka, at the time of sipuk, where a person is most satisfied with his success, comes the greatest safek, and the greatest anxiety, and the greatest nervousness of what's going to happen. And that's why, even though the silo is full, and I even have a ton of schach hanging over, I take the arbat minim, and what do I do with my safek? I round it out to become a chag. Because there are two approaches of looking at life. The ancient approach, which is the agricultural approach, is the approach of the ma'agal, the circle, where life is a cycle. In an agricultural society, you have the plowing season, the planting season, the pruning season, the picking season, everything has a season, and year in, year out, and that's Kohelet. Dor holech dor ba, life is a cycle, and, you know, today he's on top, and tomorrow I'm on top, and life is a cycle. And part of the problem with the cycle is that we know that, yes, there is a crop every year, but some years there are better, some years are worse. Yeah, every year there's rain, but some years are better and some years are worse. That's why there is a second way of looking at life, and this is the more Western or more modern way of looking at life, and that is linear. That life is, and this is what Orot HaTshuvah that we've learned before, Darwin, the theory of evolution, is that the world is constantly improving and growing and learning from their mistakes, and life is a line which is, you don't go back, and you don't repeat. Now notice the word chag.
It's really not incompatible though. You can spiral.
Oh, so that's the answer. The answer is a spiral that goes up. And that is the merging of the two, where you have also the safek and also the sipuk, where the sipuk brings you your next safek. In other words, it brings you, Hare, what is safek? Usually we as believing people, we think that safek, questions, doubt, that's for the apikorsim, right? We have emunah, we have answers to all the questions. And I remember even once a student told me, she said, I'm really jealous of the religious people, right? You don't have any doubts. You know what life is about. You know where you're going. And it's very true to a certain extent. But anybody who's learned knows that life is built on questions. And as it says in the Zohar, the word Elohim comes from the merging of the word me and Ele. Me is who? Who is God? Now, we all know that we can't understand God. In the words of Sefer Yikarim, Im yedativ hayitiv, right? If I would understand God, I would be God. So, but nevertheless, we're curious. God created us, apparently, with a good, godly curiosity to ask questions. Me, who is God? The answer is Ele Elokecha Yisrael. This is your God. You can, oh, you asked a question, now you understand. Nevertheless, it's just a matter of time before the spiral comes down again and that sipuk, oh, I got an answer, right? I found the answer to my question. That sipuk turns into a safek where you're ready for your next me. And even after you found your next ele, it's just a preparation for your next me. And that eternity of God is based on asking questions, trying to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about through the Ten Sefirot, through the Shlosh Esrei Midot, the different attributes of God. But the bottom line is that we can never understand totally. Descartes who says that wisdom is the outcome of doubt. Right? Doubt is something good. I saw somebody quoting in the Tikkuni Zohar. I couldn't find it, but I have to spend more time. That says that Shema is the name of the Shekhinah. Doubt is one of the nicknames of God. In other words, even when we have doubt, and again, we think doubt, that's for the apikorsim, that's for the people who aren't religious, that's for people who haven't learned yet. Religious people, we don't have doubt. Only religious people who don't learn don't have doubt. And that is the safek, which inevitably comes from the sipuk. God built into the sipuk, it's ingenious when you think about it, that just when man thinks, Kolchi v'otzem yadi asal yitachay lazeh, I did it, and I achieved, and I succeeded, he created us in a way that, boom, 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 four different reasons, and if you didn't get it from the first, you get it from the second, if not from that, from all four, why we have these crises, davka, when we should be at the peak of our career, or at the peak of our achievement. And that's what Sukkot is about. When you think of, what is a Dirat Arai? What is the Sukkah about? Part of the idea of Dirat Arai is that it has to be temporary. You have to feel the rain coming in. I personally don't, rain doesn't bother me, but cats do. I couldn't sleep in the Sukkah. I have bolted doors and cats. If there's a little... I think I slept over at a friend's house in fourth grade, and his cat jumped into my bed in the middle of the night, and that must have been a traumatic experience. I remember I slept the rest of the night. I locked myself in the bathroom. I slept in the bathtub with the door locked. And nevertheless, God commands me, I have to sleep in the sukkah. I sleep in the sukkah, but I have my doubts. You know, I'm a little worried there. And that's what the Dirat Arai is about, right? I remember there was a shliach in Miami, Gadi Kahana, who he slept in a sukkah in Miami, Florida, and people told him, no, in America you don't sleep in your sukkah, nobody sleeps in your sukkah, and it's dangerous, and people, and some coin broke into his sukkah, and they beat him up, and he spent a long time in the hospital. Right? A sukkah, you're not protected, right? That is part of the Tzila de Mehemnuta. The idea that even when my silo is full, I remember that there is doubt. And this doubt is, like we said before, it's necessary in order to force me to look for a new goal, to force me to look for a new me and a new Ele. That's what life is about. Right? If a person wasn't worried about somebody taking his silo away, taking him down from being king of the hill, then you'd rest on your laurels and you'd, like we said, all those bands who just clunked on their second album, and that's not good. So on the one hand, they say in Chassidut that Amalek in Gematria is Safek. That it's not good to have doubts. On the other hand,
was Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, who used to laugh at the Christians, the Catholics, who in order to become a priest, right, you have to take an oath of poverty, chastity, and obedience. He says, how can a Jew take an oath of obedience? That's the difference between the Jews and the Goyim, right? We're skeptical. We ask questions. Every page in the Gemara is questions, right? Where we encourage our children to ask questions. You're not supposed to stop questioning. Adarabba, to question, the only one Rav Tzvi used to say is the only one who is against questioning is somebody who doesn't have answers. We in Am Yisrael, we're not fly by night. We've been around 3,300 years. Baruch Hashem, we have enough answers. Again, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have more questions. But that's what growing is about. You need the questions to push you forward. So, safek is, it's not like what's good, sipuk or safek. Sipuk has its problems, and it brings the safek, but that safek is what brings the next level of sipuk. Because again, that's going to drive you to your next goal. This is also the balance that we've spoken about many times between the bitachon and hishtadlut. On the one hand, Judaism is not a fatalistic, we don't believe in predeterminism. We believe that man has free will, right? That we have to take action. On the other hand, even though we know that our actions very often fail, you don't have to get nervous because you have the chag. By the way, the younger people here might not even realize that. What does it mean, lichayeg? Where is the word lichayeg? That's from the old telephones. It's round. A machog is something around. Ma'agel, right? He made a igul. What is the idea of chag? Chag is something that gives us that yitzivut. It gives us stability. Children need stability. We all need stability. Psychologists teach us, I obviously do a lot in child psychology, that where does a person's self-confidence and self-esteem come from? It comes from a healthy childhood whose parents gave him stability, who gave him unconditional love, who he knew that even when he fell, he would be okay. Right, that is the stability that we need of the round chagim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. By the way, Chazal tell us, the Shla brings it down, that Yaakov Avinu is the third of the Avot, and he is the third of the Regalim. Avram represents Pesach, Yitzchak is Shavuot, Yaakov is Sukkot. What is Sukkot? Based on what we explained, Yaakov Avinu is the last of the Avot, but the beginning of Am Yisrael. Right? It's, you have the Yitzivut, the basis of a good, strong image, self-image, self-esteem. You know that the world, that's what is Kohelet? Dor Holeh, Dor Ba. Even, you know what? Sometimes there are even earthquakes. The world goes on. The world is going to continue. That stability is very good. On the other hand, we also need that linear hitkadmut, that advancing. So, the mankind, we need also the hishtadlut, the need to know that, yeah, it depends on me and my free will. On the other hand, to know that there is a God who's running the show and he's behind me. You know, Am Yisrael is eternal. The Torah is eternal. We, you know, you need the guts to make that, to rise to the next step, but you need that self-confidence to know that you have a net, a protective net under you. It's like when the children on the first day of school, right, they're going to school and you take them by the hand, and the second or third day, they say, oh, Abba, from here, from the Beit Knesset, I can walk by myself. You just stay. The year was okay. There is a God who's watching over us. Yeah, beseder. Okay, safek and sipuk. That's the tzila d'me'amnuta. That on the one hand, we have the kaput marim and the hadasim from last year above.
On the other hand, we have the new, the fresh ones in our hands, which mix with the old. Chag Sameach.